This is What's with Washington? Where you ask the questions about our region, about the place we live.
About your neighborhood.
Anacostia.
Prince George's County.
Pentagon City.
Woodley Park.
Columbia Heights.
And WAMU Answers.
I'm a second-generation Washingtonian.
Ward 5.
This is What's with Washington. I'm Michaela Lefrak. And in this episode, we're taking a long, hard look at our region's fashion choices. We've heard from several people wondering about why Washingtonians don't take more fashion risks. So today, we're asking people why they wear what they wear. What does it mean to be fashionable in the DMV? And my partner on this fashion journey is Jonquelin Hill. JQ is a producer here at WAMU. Hey, JQ.
Hey, Michaela.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we wanted to talk with you because you've lived in D.C. for like 10 years now, and you've worked in a bunch of different jobs. You've been in a lot of different settings. How has your wardrobe changed over the course of that decade you've been in D.C.?
Well, I will definitely say I probably took my most fashion risks when I was a student at Howard.
Okay.
That was around Lady Gaga era, so it would be nothing to see someone in like a fur and giant sparkly heels during homecoming. And then in class, like, you know, you'd see people in crop tops. You'd see people with wild hair and wild shoes and wild clothes. People were not afraid to take risks.
So you're in college, you're looking cute, looking fashionable, and then what next?
And then I started working. So in a lot of my internships, I was either on the Hill or in a very fancy TV newsroom. Mm. So it was a lot of like business dresses and sensible shoes and then changing into heels, a lot of suits, that kind of thing. I very much subscribe to the idea of dressing for the job you want. So it was a lot of like going to Ann Taylor Loft, a lot of going to TJ Maxx and like kind of shuffling through and trying to find as many like cheaply priced Calvin Klein dresses as I could that I could wear to make myself look fancier than I was.
Talk to me a little bit more about Capitol Hill, because from what I understand, there's like some actual dress codes that are still in place, right?
Yes. So depending on where you are, you have to have your arms covered. So if you're entering the speaker's chamber, for instance, and you're a woman, you'll need to put on a sweater. Guys are kind of already in suits. Their arms are already covered. But if you're a woman, you have a few more options. But, you know, if it's summertime and you're inside, you have to go ahead and put a sweater on. One, because it's cold, because the temperatures are kept at temperatures for men and their suits. So we tend to be a little chilly.
Classic.
And then depending on where you are in the Capitol, you have to have your arms covered. I think at one point.
Covered arms thing seems like such a vestige of the past. Like,
yes.
It is crazy to me that that's still a rule.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is about it.
So what was your gut reaction when you heard this What's with Washington question? Why don't Washingtonians take fashion risks? Did you agree with it?
I mean, being here in D.C. for so long, like, yes, like you see people in their sensible shoes and, you know, their khaki pants and their navy jacket. But also you'll see a ton of people in Foamposites and New Balances and Helly Hansen jackets in the winter. Like, who is saying that people in D.C. don't take fashion risks? So I wanted to know if I was the only person that felt that way. So our producer Ponzi and I went out on a Sunday afternoon to check out the fashion scene in D.C.
Oh my God, it's JQ. I'm coming from church, and so I'm wearing church clothes, which are also like business clothes. They're kind of one and the same. Yeah. So I'm wearing, like, I got this dress at Ann Taylor Loft, which is very, it's my go-to work thing. I'm carrying a Kate Spade bag. I look very D.C. on a weekday right now.
So what kind of people were you seeing when you were out on the streets?
Being out on a Sunday afternoon where we were, U Street and 14th Street, that kind of intersection, you see two very distinct groups of people. One is the brunch set. So like they're just kind of like cute, fancy, very Instagrammable. The other half are people running errands or like going to workout classes. So maybe it's someone running out of a Soul Cycle class, so they're in leggings and sneakers.
Where did you get your leopard coat?
My coat?
Yes, your. Oh, it has a leopard. It doesn't have a cheetah. What kind of
cat is that? It's a cheetah, I think.
Excuse me.
No, I got this from. Where did I get this from?
What store are we at? Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It may be in the tag.
It's incredible.
Zara.
Zara.
Yes.
So good.
Thank
so
you.
Good. This is a sweater from the thrift store. These shoes are from the thrift store. This bag is from the thrift store.
I love that the sunglasses are like heart-shaped though.
Yeah.
And blue.
I want to introduce you to two ladies we met who were on their way to brunch that day.
Can you describe your outfits for us?
My, like what I'm wearing?
What are you wearing, head to toe? Oh. How'd you make these choices this morning?
I went into Target because the mall wasn't open, and I walked around, and I saw this cute tube top, and I said, okay, I've been feeling slim lately, so I'm going to wear it. I also really enjoy, like, burgundies and colors like this. And I like to be, like, edgy cute, so I just decided to throw some ripped jeans on, my boots, and a jacket.
What about you?
I think we were going out to brunch, so I had to find something that was movable and warm.
We also ran into Brian Siegel, who was out with his brother. He had just gone thrifting.
Do you think D.C. is a town where nobody takes fashion risks?
I think that that is a misconception for sure. I think that, you know, to the broader kind of country, the perception of D.C. is that we're all a bunch of preppy kind of bow tie wearing Tucker Carlson types, and that's definitely not the case.
So do you, like, when we're talking about this question that the listeners asked us, do you think that it's important to be risky in order to be called fashionable?
Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, okay, this is, come with me on this journey.
Okay.
But if you watch Gossip Girl and you look back, Serena's fashion becomes very dated very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Blair just has these good standard pieces that are kind of timeless. And you're like, yeah, she looked good in the early aughts. She looks good now.
Blair is like Ann Taylor Loft.
Blair is elevated Ann Taylor. I also think that it's definitely possible to keep things simple and still be really fashionable. Like, I think of kind of the normcore trend we have right now. Like, it's nothing to see someone in, like, a pair of sneakers and a pair of mom jeans and, like, a cute top. And, yeah, okay, it's not the most risky thing, but you look good. Yeah. Michaela, you also got out there and asked this question.
Yes.
Where did you go? What did you learn?
So the thing that I was really interested in was the fashion industry in D.C., like how people are buying and selling and designing clothes. I went to two different shops to find out how it works.
Right, I'm heading into the shop meet in D.C. in Georgetown. It's a little boutique that sells items by D.C. area makers.
And they have these like amazing, like very funky necklaces, big chunky earrings, a lot of like DC branded graphic tees, and then also like a whole rack of like really nice clothing and apparel that's all designed by people in DC.
I lost my voice again this morning and I was like, oh no, I have an audio interview.
Perfect. I meet with the owner, Stacy Price, and have you been to any of the Shop Made in DC
outlets? I have
not.
Can you tell me more about them?
I can. So there are three of them now. This is their third one. And the Georgetown store is much more focused on apparel and jewelry than the other two stores are. And it ranges from like menswear shirts to these like amazing jean jackets that I absolutely fell in love with. That they're these like vintage jean jackets with these like big fur collars, and then they're all embellished. They're so great.
So she uses lots of mud cloth. She'll make a design with all kinds of different fabrics.
Oh, that sounds really cool. So how many designers are they working with at Made in DC?
She said that they have almost 110 makers in the Georgetown store, and a lot of those are jewelry and apparel.
I think people are looking for unique, interesting, funky things, ways to show their creativity. I mean, I think that we're all trying to bust the myth that we're this buttoned-up city. So right now, what you'll see are 5 different makers on this rack. So we have Maven, eco-friendly clothes for the DC working woman.
So these are like a cap-sleeved
dress. Eco-friendly fabrics, very appropriate for work, but not Ann Taylor Loft.
She's everywhere, that Ann.
She's everywhere.
Crazy Ann. But yeah, so she says she meets these people, oftentimes women, and they sell these really cool products, but she has to spend a lot of time coaching them on how to price their stuff and how to scale their business. So, for example, she told me about this one designer who was making these really cool earrings out of clay, and she was selling them for $8 at a craft market. And Stacy was like, no, girl, like, now your earrings sell for $25, and like, here's why, and here's why you need to value your time in this way, and here's how you're gonna get me 100 pairs of them so that we can sell them for the Christmas rush.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like scaling up is like a major issue for these designers. But what other kind of issues do designers face?
The other challenge that people face is finding affordable retail space. So I talked to this woman, Anika Hobbs, who owns a boutique called Nubian Human over in Anacostia.
Oh, I know that place.
Do you know her?
Yeah. Well, I don't know her, but I know that store.
Oh, it's great. And she sells stuff from designers all over the world, and she has a focus on African prints and designers from Africa. But she said that finding affordable retail space for like small stores like hers is really hard.
The Anacostia Art Center worked because it was like completely turnkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have to do anything to open the space. It was literally like bring in your racks, put up your art, bring in your pieces and go.
I mean, you think of affordability, but wow, it's impacting these designers too.
Right. But she has kind of subsidized space in the Anacostia Art Center. But outside of that space, there isn't really a lot, particularly in her neighborhood in Anacostia where she could afford. So this was the first time that she was able to actually like have a boutique was because she was getting support from the city. And she said there could be a lot more of that around here. Shop Made in DC and Nubian Human were only the first stops on my journey to figuring out the fashion scene in the DMV. And coming up after the break, we are going to head back to school, fashion school, and to the runway.
Hey, it's Ponce, and I lead the podcast team here at WAMU. You may have noticed that we've been pretty busy putting out a lot of new podcasts lately. Dish City, Unprecedented, and of course, What's with Washington. These new projects are made possible because of the financial support of listeners just like you. We have so many more questions to answer on What's with Washington, and with your support, we can keep things going here in podcast land. Just click the link in the show notes to make a gift today, and thanks.
JQ, we're back.
Hey.
Hello again. It is time to head to fashion school.
Mm,
are you excited?
Back to class.
So when I was reporting this story, I found out that there's actually only one fashion design and merchandising school in the whole DC region. And it's at Marymount University in Arlington.
Have you
heard of it?
No.
Well, I went out there and talked to three students, Charlene, Lorena, and Valeria. And we sat in one of their classrooms, which was like my college classrooms were just like desks and chairs. But theirs have like a ton of sewing machines. They have fabric samples tacked on the walls. They have mannequins.
Ooh.
They had like a bucket full of like mannequin arms, which was
just
spooky.
Imagine the room from Project Runway. And like,
yes.
Tim Gunn comes in and tells them to make it work.
Make it work.
My name is Valeria Falcon. I am a senior here at Marymount. Yeah, ever since I was 7 years old, my mom, like, if you ask her, she's like, yeah, you said you wanted to be a doctor of clothes. Like, I didn't know how to say fashion design, but ever since I was, like, 7 years old, I've always wanted to be a fashion designer.
Oh,
that's so cute.
My name is Lorena Ponce. I am 21, and I am from Riverdale, Maryland. Going to Metro, it's mostly, like, they're just wearing suits. So it is kind of hard to find an internship, well, design-wise, where you can pattern make and, like, create something. But I did an internship over the summer with Pattern Sample Sew, and I believe she's the only manufacturer in D.C. She made me sew some garments that there are designers here in the DMV area, but I'm not allowed to say who, but like seeing it on their Instagram and like, okay, I saw that. So that makes me extra like happy. I want further designers to grow from DC or the DMV area. And I don't know, I want to see people's dreams like, and their creativity come to life.
So Charlene and Lorena and Valeria were all busy preparing for the spring fashion show at Marymount, but we couldn't wait until spring to go see a fashion show. So we actually found a DC fashion show to go to.
Ooh.
If you could believe it.
A DC fashion show, and it's not the impeachment inquiry?
No, it was like high fashion, like couture, there was a runway, the whole shebang. So I talked to Remy Wallace. She's the creative director of District of Fashion. And right off the bat, she surprised me because she was talking about what
what capital W Washington, like Capitol Hill, Washington, is wearing.
People should know that fashion also exists here. People have to go to galas. It's a very political city, so they're looking for an outfit to go to that. A lot of events going on, so therefore it's here, and people need to know.
Are there a lot of homegrown fashion designers that are from this region that you're excited about?
Absolutely. We've had amazing designers for each of our shows, at least 10 to 14 designers per show. So yeah, they're here.
What kind of outfits did you see at this fashion show?
There was a lot of very elevated menswear, a lot of men wearing like really nice like velour blazers and like a very fitted pants, you know, the kind of where you can like see your very cool socks. Ooh. And your fancy like alligator shoes.
I can already tell that people are putting their best foot forward and pretty much embodying their own style this evening, so I'm excited to see even more. It's definitely a place to be this evening and to be seen.
And I also met a fashion designer named Afwa Sam.
I've been in the DC area for 24 years, so I kind of know how the fashion evolved before Michelle Obama came and after. So, but I think within that period, it became more fashionable in terms of, because she also liked dressing, so then it kind of get to the with the culture. But I think most importantly is the culture. Yes. There's so many different ethnicity here in DC, and so that brings different types of fashion which you can't really pinpoint, but it's different and it's fun.
I really liked that idea that you know, DC is this melting pot in a lot of ways. Yeah. And a lot of cultures are coming in and affecting our fashion scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I just think of like the influence. I mean, we so have so many like West African immigrants who live in the region, and just like the impact that has, or like the impact that Ethiopian immigrants have on the region, or like people from all these different places, like what impact they're having on the fashion we wear here.
JQ.
Yes.
We've been on a real journey.
Wow, we've gone a lot of places.
We've been here, we've been there, we've been everywhere. What have you learned?
I learned that people in DC do take fashion risks, and those risks maybe just look different from what other cities' risks look like.
Mm-hmm. I've learned that we love Van Taylor Loft.
We love her.
And we shouldn't be ashamed of it.
No, it's okay to love Van Taylor Loft.
She's a practical gal. This episode was produced by Ponce Retch, Patrick Fort, Ruth Tam, Julia Karen, and me, Michaela LaFrac. Our theme music is by Ben Privett, who also mixed today's show. You can browse the many, many questions that we've answered at our website, wamu.org/whatswith. Better yet, you should submit a question yourself. We would really love to hear from you. WAMU's general manager is JJ Yore. Andy McDaniel oversees all the content we make here. If you love What's With Washington, tell a friend. Please, we would so appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. See you next time.